So what you actually learned or were trained in, like the radar and the electronics, certainly helped you when you came home.
Well, it really wouldn't help that much. Like I said, I went into TV, but it's entirely different than the, and I was teaching the operation and I'm not working on them.
Okay.
That's indifferent. I was teaching how to run one. Just like you'd be teaching to run a TV set on it. A little more complicated than that, I'd say.
But would you say that the Army gave you then the means to go back to school with the GI Bill?
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, otherwise I'd probably stay there and farmed. And I never went to TV school, but it didn't pay that good either, so.
Yeah. What else do you think about that experience that you had in the Army? Did it change you in any way, or, you know?
I don't know. I guess like I said, it didn't hurt that much, because the years I was in there, they didn't raise nothing. I was a dirty, filthy 50s, I guess, then, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, I went to Coleman and Boeing and then stayed there for 3 years in Wichita.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to Coleman in the first place, from Cimarron to Wichita?
I just went down there and got a job.
You'd heard that they were hiring?
Yeah.
Or?
And we had a trailer house, so we pulled it down there and parked it.
Mm-hmm.
Had a, 28-foot trailer, which people nowadays wouldn't think very much fun living in an 8x28 trailer.
That was big for then, wasn't it?
Well, it really wasn't big, but I mean...
It was adequate.
But after it was down there, while we traded for a... When I was working down there, we traded for a... I think it was a... What was it, 47-foot one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you go from a 28 to 47, it's quite a thing. Mm-hmm. But still, it's just... The trailer's now, 10 by 80 or something there.
Mm-hmm. Did you like living in Wichita?
Oh, yeah, it was all right.
Mm-hmm. Because you came from a very small community.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Wichita's entirely different than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, I worked on the TVs then, and I'd go out, be out at night after dark and everything. I'd go up in the northeast part of Wichita with a colored section and work on TVs at night.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't think you'd even drive up there after night if you drove through it.
Right.
Let alone get out and work on a TV set.
Yeah, and you didn't even think anything about it.
Well, there wasn't drugs and stuff back then. I just never thought nothing about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Going out at night working on TVs and stuff.
Well, you've certainly seen a lot of changes in your life with the technology. My goodness, when you were born in 28 and you were probably raised without, and then you sort of went into different fields of technology.
Yeah. Of course, we didn't even have electricity at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Got a wind charger, I think, about the year or so before we left there. But mm-hmm. It was just 32 volts. You didn't have just many lights and stuff. It wasn't, and no indoor plumbing or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No water or nothing. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a three-bedroom house, and there was 11 of us kids and two parents that made. 13.
Oh my goodness, you had 10 brothers and sisters?
Yeah. So my brother, he had went in the Army before the last one was born, so the most was in there was 12 at one time.
That's a lot.
12 in a three-bedroom house.
What'd you do, put boys in one and girls in the other?
Yeah, we had just kind of stacked up, I guess.
That was good times?
Oh, I suppose. Didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I thought was funny, though, the year I graduated in 46, I was up there farming up there by the neighbors. And a little neighbor, some neighbor kids come on and said, I see you got a little baby sister. I said, what? Yeah, you got a little baby sister. I didn't even know about it. My mother's fat anyhow.
Uh-huh.
Now that, I don't mind they do that nowadays.
No. Where were you in the family?
I was the second oldest.
Oh, so you were one of the...
No, next oldest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you have chores growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, we had a, generally when it got a little bigger, we had a trap line, went out and shot our skunks and stuff, and then we come in and milked, and then we got ready to catch the bus. So,
Before school started. Mm-hmm. And what, you said you went to a country school, which...
No, I went to Cimarron.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Just caught a bus in it.
Okay. All right, and so in your trap line, it was mainly skunks?
Well, that's about all we caught.
And you just shot them?
Did just shoot them and bring them in, and then we'd skin them that night after we got home.
And what would you do with their fur?
Well, you'd skin them and stretch them and sell them.
Oh, what would...
I think it was worth about a dollar a piece or something. A dollar was a lot of money back then.
Right. And who would buy them?
They had a place over at Dodge that bought furs and stuff.
And what did they do with them?
they send them, I suppose, to make coats or whatever they made out of the furs.
Okay. Did you do other hunting, like pheasant hunting or anything like that?
Well, they didn't have pheasants back then.
Oh, they didn't?
No, that came in later years. And deer hunting, of course, all that came in later years.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of rabbits, all they was awful thick.
Did you ever go on a rabbit drive?
Yeah, I was on a couple of them.
Yeah. So the pheasants weren't out here then?
No. No, they stalked them in later years.
Oh.
And of course the deer season, they didn't have a deer, open deer season here until what, the 70s probably?
Mm-hmm.
You never had seen a deer even until.
Right, yeah.
And of course never seen the pheasants. I was probably out in what, how far up I'd been in school before I even seen a pheasant, but they didn't have open season back then, so.
Mm-hmm. What else do you remember about World War II and the rationing and things that you did for the war effort?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it, like I said, people hate to live that way now, where you couldn't get tires, gas, or... Of course, a farmer could pretty well get gasoline, you know, for tractor and stuff, because that's what they use with gasoline then.
Mm-hmm.
Tires was hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, food, they rationed their canned food, and meat. They rationed sugar, coffee, everything they rationed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had to have your stamps to get them.
Mm-hmm. Was there a tradition of being in the military in your family? Was your father?
No, he never was in.
Not in World War I? Did you know anyone that had fought in World War I?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. When did your family come out here?
Well, let's see, it would have been about... I suppose my dad was born in 82, so I think he was 6 when he came out here, so it would have been about 1888, I suppose, when he came out here.
And where did they come from?
Iowa.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he homesteaded the place up there. Well, we still got the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the deed to it. That's signed by President Howard Taft was president. And it's actually signed back then by President.
Yes.
It ain't stamped like they do now. So that deed is probably worth something.
Mm-hmm. So now do you have sons that help you farm? That farm it now?
No.
No. Okay. But it's still in the family.
Well, yeah, it's kind of in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I still own a half section of it. But it's just in the grass now, CRP, so.
Mm-hmm. Did your father have stories about coming out here from and growing up out here when it was still homesteading days?
Oh, well, some, I suppose. But yeah, he used to say when he was farming up there on that, where he homesteaded, you know, that they'd load up a wagon load of wheat, you know, which probably what, 150 bushels, I don't know what it'd been. And they'd bring it to town and try to get to town by noon. And then they'd get rid of the wheat and drive back, try to get back home and load up another load that night so they'd be ready to bring another load down the next morning. So they spent all winter hauling wheat to town.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Just to sell it, you know.
But then there wasn't no roads. We lived 10 miles north. East of here, and they just cut across the country then. I never asked them when they put the roads in. A lot of things I'd ask them now, they didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they started putting roads in and stuff.
I don't know. I know that...
But I know he said they'd just cut across the country from up there and come to town. It was, you know, like if they didn't own the ground around them, a lot of times they'd go out there like Northtown where he was raised up there. If there's a lot of swales up there, if they go out there and mow around that piece of ground, if they could claim the hay in it.
Oh.
Because the railroad owned every other section.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was smart to do that.
So it was a little different than it is now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose that they started putting roads in when the automobile became more common. Do you remember your first car that you had?
The first one I had?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, the first one I had was 36 Ford. But
you remember the first one that your parents had?
Oh, they had an old Oakland, I think.
Oakland?
I believe that's what, and then they got a 36 Chevy, the one I remember most when I was going to school, was the 36 Chevy, which, you know, if I come in to play on a football team or something at night, I had to drive an old truck in to play, so we didn't drag around with old trucks, and a ton and a half trucks. Come in and went to football game and went home, so.
Did you play football or just go to the football
game? No, I played football.
Okay.
But see, I'd drive it in to go to play, you know, and.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents ever come and watch you play games?
Yeah, they used to come and watch it.
Yeah. And what chores did you have to do at home? Milk the cows?
Well, yeah, had cattle to feed. You had cane to bind and everything like that, and shock, and haul it in and put it in the hayloft. And so you was generally busy for at least 5 or 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And then in the summer, were you busier because of...
Yeah, see, we farmed about, I think I had section and three quarters. Then between me and my brother, I'd go over in the morning and start about sunup and run it till 1 o'clock, a tractor. Or no, my brother run it till 1 o'clock. And I'd come up and run it from 1 o'clock until dark, which would be about 8 hours you run it then.
Mm-hmm.
I started when I was 9 years old, I think.
Hmm.
So I've been a lot of hours for a little kid.
Well, I guess so. Were there just two boys? And then
no, there's more, but the two of us were on it.
You were the older ones?
Yeah, we were the ones pretty well stuck with it.
Okay.
And the farm we had north of town, he sold it in 47, and we was just getting out of the Army, so he just turned that farm over to the two of us, and then we farmed it together for years.
And did all your brothers and sisters, are they still around here, or did they move away?
Well, they most of them. Well, there's, three of them here yet, I guess, but they're living over in Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been, I had two brothers die and one sister, I guess, so far. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular stories or memories that you think would be important to get down, that things that you know how to do that you know young people now don't know how to do, a process or like shocking, something like that?
Oh, well, something they won't have to do, because like all their stuff's done by hydraulic now, all your baling and stuff, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of their stuff done by hand now.
Yeah.
Of course, just like wheat, you know, you had to shovel in the bin by hand, you get up there and mount it back. 100 degrees, you'd be up there in a steel bin mounted back. Well, you can't even walk into one now without cooking, so I don't know how we done it as kids.
I know. Mm-hmm.
God, still.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't even get in one of them steel bins when it's hot. But here we, of course, like I said, no air conditioning. You're used to the heat. It wasn't something that just...
Yeah. When you went into the Marines and then later into the Army, did you meet people from all over the United States? Was that a different experience?
Oh, yeah, you met different people. Had some Cubans, I think it was, down at Fort Sill. Of course, they'd talk the Spanish or whatever it is, and they wasn't supposed to then. If you was in the Army, you weren't allowed to talk English on the base, but they would. So.
Oh, I didn't really.
It ain't like it is now. They seem like they want to go to the Spanish now, and they,
mm-hmm.
and they've been over backwards to do it at schools and everything. So
mm-hmm.
back then, they weren't even allowed to. Wasn't supposed to, if it was in the Army, you weren't supposed to sit around and talk to each other in Spanish or whatever they would.
When you look back on your decision to go into the Marines and then get out of the Marines and go to the Army, do you have any reflections on that or that period of your life?
Well, I just farmed in from the time I did 46 when I got out of the Marines till 53 till I went in the Army. In fact, I tried to get an Army deferment, you know, to go ahead farming. They wouldn't give it to me.
Now, why do you think they wouldn't give it to you?
I couldn't figure it out. Like I said, I had a medical discharge, and I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And they still went over to draft board. And the guy was on there. He said, well, I said, you only spent a couple months in the Marine Corps. I said, we'll send you back to the Army and see if they can keep you longer.
Was the draft board in this county or over at
It was Ford County.
Okay. Okay.
But they... I'd like to finish this.
Yeah.
A couple of months.
And what they want to do is continue to take the people in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the first Gulf War, and then, you know, the current war, and keep it an ongoing project in the county.
Of course, your Korean War, about like the Vietnam, you come back, you didn't even wear a uniform because they...
Was it that bad?
They didn't respect it, about like the Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
World War II now, you go back, you was a hero there and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
Everybody volunteered to go. Well, started in the Korean War, if they tried to draft a lot of them, went to Canada, took off and wouldn't even serve, you know. And
mm-hmm. I mean, I know during World War II there was a feeling of patriotism among young men that, you know, well, we should fight and it's for a just cause.
Yeah.
Where did you pick that up in the community, from the school, or?
I don't know, just something you done, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. People gradually changed. I don't know what the deal was. But.
Mm-hmm. Did you know anyone that fought in Korea at all from the community?
I don't know if we lost any career or not, did we?
You know, I don't know that. But if the draft would have still been in, you would have thought that some went to Korea to fight.
Well, yeah, well, they went to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the ones before me, it seemed like I said, it had only been going on, only 2 months till it was over after.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have a choice to send me to Korea or what, because
right.
The war was already over.
Yeah.
So, well, they still send people over as far as that go.
Yeah.
The Army still got people in Korea.
Well, at the bases, that's true.
In mm-hmm. Germany and Korea and all around yet, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you, do you think it's good for every young man to join the Army? Of course, you were older when you went in, too.
Well, at first, I was just 18 when I went in.
Right. Do you think it teaches you anything?
Well, I think it would probably. A lot of these kids nowadays, they, of course, like I said, they really don't know what money is.
Mm-hmm.
They just, they grew up in society, was, had what they wanted, and
mm-hmm.
they didn't want to do it, they didn't do it, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even think about it. We didn't. Somebody tell you to do something, you went and done it. So.
Yeah. So it wasn't difficult to take orders.
No, that's what's like parents, they tell you go do something, well, you went and done it, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Argue whether he's going to give you $10 to do it or $5 or
mm-hmm.
the first year, me and my brother, we got new bicycles for that whole year, and a bicycle cost $10.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear people say, well, we only got $1 a day when it was back then. I said, well, a pretty good way to decide what we worked all summer and winter too with cattle and got two bicycles, but we thought we was rich when we had new bicycles.
Mm-hmm. Now where would you ride the bicycles?
Well, we had a farm. It was what was it, three, four miles from other. We'd ride it over there and run the tractor and the other one, get on one of them and ride it back home, so.
Did you have a hard time keeping the tires pumped up?
Oh, I suppose I had a little trouble. But
were there stickers or?
Oh, I suppose there's plenty. I don't remember having really that much trouble with tires, but like they do now. But
mm-hmm.
of course, well, back then, I don't think you had the stickers you do now.
Okay.
Because, see, they started sanding roads and bringing your sandbars north of town and everything for. You might not be. I don't remember really having that much trouble with tires then like they do now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So were you the only two in the family that got bicycles, or did, how could you get bicycles for 11 children?
Well, then we quit riding them, and then the others got them probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, anything else that you can think of?
No, not really, I guess. But
because actually, you know, being born when you were and growing up the time that you did, you've seen a lot of history
yeah.
go by.
But they'd already quit farming as horses.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy had a couple of them, but we didn't use them much.
Mm-hmm.
I never did drive a team of horses. I had a horse I rode some, but I never did farm with a horse.
Were political issues discussed at your home?
Oh, not much, I don't think. Do
you remember the first president you voted for?
No, I don't guess so. I
okay.
don't know who the first one was.
Okay. All right, well, let me look at these questions. I think, was there any fellow soldier or officer during your time that you kept in contact with? Or
after I got out of the Army, man?
Mm-hmm.
No, I never.
Okay.
One or two of them sent me Christmas cards and stuff, but I never did keep in touch with
mm-hmm.
them.
Is there any particular memory that you have of those days that, you know, was significant enough for you to remember it?
Oh, I suppose I had good times along with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because
but like I said, I was married. My wife was down on base most of the time. When
mm-hmm.
not on base, they lived in town.
So when you, because of that, did you socialize with many of the fellow soldiers, or you just built your own social life?
Well, mostly I didn't, well, had my wife all the time I was in about. And so I didn't go out well, just a few times I'd go out, like, maybe go to Warheads or something and drink a few drinks and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
But after I got up to Fort Sill, I never done any of that.
Yeah, because it was in Oklahoma.
Well, I wouldn't. Well, I wasn't the one I knew there, and I was just, I was an instructor, and I got off at 5, where it was, and went home. And
mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Of course, during your basic training in the Army, of course, then you was, for the first 16 weeks or something, your wife wasn't there, so you was, you'd go out once in a while then or something, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay, I think that is all the questions that I have. If you think of something else,